Good afternoon, everyone. I'm here to present about variable rate fertigation and specifically what we're doing in West Central Nebraska. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, who are my PhD co-advisors, Drs. Darren Rutnick and Tim Shaver. We're all at the West Central Research and Extension Center in North Platte, Nebraska. So fertigation is one method of doing in-season fertilizer application. And the benefits of that is well known. Better matching when these nutrients are available to when these nutrients are being uptaken by plants. And in doing so, we're reducing the risk for these nutrients to be lost. Fertigation specifically is the practice of adding fertilizer to irrigation water. Nebraska being a state that where irrigated agriculture is dominant, this becomes an attractive alternative to using high clearance applicators or airplanes for in-season fertilizer application, especially in taller crops. So because the irrigation system is already there, the additional equipment cost is relatively minimal, just a fertilizer tank and injection pump, some regulatory compliance safety devices as well. Labor requirement is mostly the transportation and the setup of the equipment because the irrigation is already being done, and then the application cost is also minimal because it's already accounted for by the irrigation system. Although when weather is unfavorable, which can affect high clearance applicators in terms of muddy fields or in terms of airplanes, maybe high wind speeds, this is where fertigation can shine. We can apply a small amount of water even when the soil is pretty wet and get the nutrients in there when we need it, when the weather is not favorable. So, but why variable rate fertigation specifically? Talking about site-specific fertigation application. So first of all, we can have areas within the irrigated field that are actually non-cropped. A waterway, for example, some sort of open body of water that should not be receiving fertilizer application, or areas that have been washed out and have since been taken over by weeds. Those don't need to be fertilized. On a more practical note, for researchers, variable rate fertigation offers opportunities to do plot experiments with nitrogen fertilizer, just as another way. But especially in fields where we do have soil spatial variability, then site-specific or variable rate fertigation offers opportunities to maximize economic profitability and also improve our environmental stewardship. For example, you can have some low productivity areas where you can cut back your nutrient applications, and also there are crops, maybe fruits or vegetable crops, that can have excessive vegetative growth from oversupply of nutrients, and crops such as sugar beets that actually decrease their sugar yield when you have an excess of nitrogen. So any fertigation system has two components, and we'll highlight what makes a system variable rate. So first component, at least in the Nebraska setting, is a center pivot irrigation system. That is just a revolving sprinkler system. You have, I'm supposed to use the mouse. You have the pivot point in the middle that's fixed, and then these towers basically force these pipes of sprinklers, pipes with sprinklers on top or on drops to revolve around the field. The slower the towers move around that pivot point, the larger the amount of water that's being applied. And the way to get variable rate irrigation, the variable rate amount of water, is by changing how fast these towers revolve around the pivot point, or installing some valves to open and close these sprinklers. You might have a 2-minute cycle, and then maybe half of the time the sprinklers are off. So this is a graph how feet per minute of the end tower moving can change the inches of water applied. And then an example of some solenoid valves that are being controlled by node boxes, which are being controlled by panels at the pivot point. And then you have the injection pump. What is actually injecting or mixing that fertilizer into the irrigation water? Often there's a manual dial, a little silver dial in this case, that can decrease the injection rate. And to do variable rate injection, you can use a variable frequency drive to change the motor speed. we'll talk about two major approaches of doing this variable rate fertigation. One approach is what we'll call the variable rate injection. You keep that fertilizer concentration constant. And why that, would that concentration even change is because when you open and close these valves attached to these sprinklers, you're going to increase or decrease that flow rate. So when your flow rate changes, your fertilizer concentration can change. And so if you do maintain that fertilizer concentration, then you can just keep your fertilizer rate be proportional to your water amount. And that keeps things simple. So what you have to do is you have a flow meter such as this, which is in your irrigation system. You need to translate that flow rate measurement into an instruction for the injection pump to go speed up or slow down. And so your injection rate essentially needs to stay proportional to your water flow rate. So we did a test where we counted the time needed to inject a known fertilizer amount, and we averaged the concurrent water flow rate. And these are the results. We ran 6 1-minute runs, and then at 5 different flow rates from 100 gallons per minute to 500 gallons per minute, and reported the fertilizer to water ratio. We can see that the deviation from that average concentration is quite small, and is even smaller if you average them to a 6-minute run round, which is probably about as any spot in the field probably receives water for at least 6 minutes. So I would say that we can claim that fertilizer concentration can remain generally within 6% of the target concentration, which is quite accurate. The system that was used to do this test is commercially available. We were using the flow proportional mode that is supposed to do this, and we've shown that here that it does work. And the next approach we'll talk about is this constant injection approach. You just keep that injection pump running constant, and you use your irrigation system to compensate. So since a center pivot rotates at a finite speed, if you have a really low fertilizer requirement in that pie slice, because it's rotating around in a circle, there's not a slow enough injection to achieve that. So the lowest the pie slice with that lowest fertilizer requirement is going to determine what injection rate you're supposed to use. So once you determine that, then through all the other sectors, all the other pie slices, you go slower, and then you use your sprinkler valves to achieve the differences. And so in this case, fertilizer rate is not even if fertilizer rate is the same throughout the in different parts of the field, they won't be associated with the same irrigation depth. I'll give you an example. And because it's more mathematically complicated, we are developing a prescription tool to automate that. So, for example, you might have a scenario where you have the center pivot of the field is divided into thirds radially, and then two different pie slices with 0, 20, 40 different pounds per acre of nitrogen. Given a certain amount of constraints in the setup, you might get inches of water more like the right-hand side. So you see that the two zones with the 40 pounds per acre are not getting the same amount of water. That's just the fact that because the sector on the right-hand side, the pie slice, has a much larger fertilizer rate on the sector basis. And so more water needs to be applied. So that concludes, I guess, the first part of my presentation, talking about more of the equipment side of things. But what about how to actually determine how much fertilizer needs to be applied in these different zones? So we know from previous research that optical sensors can be used to assess crop nutrient status, just an example of a clearly nitrogen-deficient crop. So center pivots, for example, can be serving as a sensing platform for this. There's some different advantages and disadvantages. Highlighting the disadvantages here, because that center pivot is long, and you could end up installing a lot of different sensors along the length of the machine. And since it takes a while to get around, you might be looking at long sensing time. So we're hypothesizing that active canopy sensors, optical sensors, which emit their own light rather than using sunlight, that will help in the long sensing time because of changing conditions. But plants do still respond to weather and time of day physiologically, so we do have possibly of still changes in reflectance. So we simulated this by using a tractor. We made different trips through plots with different treatments. We had a particular active optical sensor record at 10 hertz these vegetation index values, and calculate a trim mean of that vegetation index and a sufficiency index, which is often what ends up being used to prescribe a nitrogen fertilizer. So you have the negative hours after solanum being like the morning hours, and then the positive ones being the afternoon. So you can see that in the morning, that vegetation index is gradually increasing towards solanum, and then it decreases afterwards. That happened on both dates where we're doing it. The second graph, it's I started in the afternoon of the 18th and then the morning of the 19th, so that's the dotted line there. But the effect on the sufficiency index, which is what I said, is what ends up often being used to generate prescriptions for fertilizer on a site-specific basis, the effect is inconsistent. There is not a consistent trend across both days. So, but anyways, the difference is among the measurement times, the standard deviation was smaller than what we're observing within those plots. And so at least the preliminary results seem to suggest that the sensitivity is low enough that we can allow these optical sensors to pass through the field from the morning to the evening and still get accurate enough measurements to do prescription work. So just highlight some ongoing activities. We're using this variable rate fertigation system to evaluate fertigation strategies. That's a USDA project. And then we also have a competition on our experimental station where there are actual growers, faculty members, students that are competing to maximize input use efficiency and farm profitably in field corn production. Please visit our website. This is a photo of our different participants. And we're doing future work. We keep testing the engineering parts of the system, integrating those sensors and those decision-making algorithms, and then want to actually get some agronomic response. So just in closing, want to acknowledge our different funding agencies, our own department, Department of Biological Systems Engineering, the USDA, and the two projects of the USDA, and also our colleagues that have provided invaluable assistance to us throughout the length of the project. So with that, thank you so much for your attention, and I'm open to any all questions.
Questions? Yes, in the back.
Have you tried to explore some of the challenges or the obstacles of using this system?
Repeat the question, thanks.
Yeah, so the question was about challenges of using the system. So we have not moved to the extension component of this technology. What we're showing you is our first steps at understanding, actually evaluating whether it actually works or not at the experimental station, and then trying to move towards more of a package approach of, okay, if you do invest in the system, how do you actually develop a prescription, a plan for how much fertilizer to apply, and then maybe we'll do some. So that's still quite several years down the road. But certainly, I think the engineering side is there. We have the, as you can see by these results, we do have the equipment that is available to deliver that. It would be more the agronomics of how much fertilizer and when, and those are continual topics for research, I guess, for all of us. So,
okay, thank you. One last quick question.
Quickly, you have the sensors that you were trying. Obviously, it would be the functional use of them as it's operating and running the fertigation, and then you're sensing it with the water effect. How the sensor works, and two, would you see that moving towards in the future, you would use the sensor somehow to see
So great question. The question was about how or when these sensors would be actually being used, whether it's during an irrigation or fertigation application or before somehow. Without going into too much detail, there's different sprinkler systems. I guess if you have a sprinkler system where it's applying water largely beneath the canopy, you can minimize that water droplet effect. Otherwise, I mean, there are options to extend that sensor in front of the sprinklers, and then there's also other options where if the towers are designed differently to move a little faster, then typically in Nebraska you have situations where growers get shut off by the power company during peak load hours during the daytime. So if there's arrangements to be made to do sensing during that time and not have to pump, because that's the major energy use, is the pumping of the groundwater, then perhaps you get the daylight hours to do your sensing, and then the opportunities have not been fully explored, but they are there. So we're excited for what's coming after.
Please join me in thanking Henry Lowe.